When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record in my car. No, I'm not in my car today. I'm in the Art and Story studio. Why? Because spring is here, and I may have to rethink this whole recording in my car business because I jumped in the car and decided to record a quick Thunder Punch Daily before heading off to teach a class, and it was hot in there, and I can't exactly leave the motor running and the air conditioning on because there'd be a lot of ambient noise in the background of the show, which I think would not be as interesting to listen to. So I ran back inside into the relatively cooler Art and Story studio and turned on the good audio equipment to record this episode, so you're going to get a slightly better sounding show today. I'll figure out what the heck I'm going to do about that whole sitting in a hot car business. I suppose I could roll down the windows, but as it is, people walk by and look and, you know, stare at me as I'm yelling into my phone and laughing into my phone. So I don't know. I'll figure something out. So what's the topic today? How about that Marvel iPhone app, huh? I thought I'd give you guys a review. For those of you who don't have iPhones, for those of you who don't have iPads, that's me too. And for those of you who don't even have a Macintosh. Because this thing's getting some noise, and I kind of went into a brief rant about Marvel being on the iPad in last week's extra episode of Extreme. But that was more or less of me arguing about their involvement in the business and in the art form itself, and I, you know, kind of answering this notion of if Marvel and DC and Image and Dark Horse and whoever, if they get on the iPad, that it's somehow going to magically save comics. I don't think that's the case. And you can listen to that episode to hear my full angry tirade about it. But what I will talk about today is the application itself, which, I hate to say it, is also disappointing. I mean, their involvement in the industry is disappointing, and their execution of getting onto new media devices is disappointing. Why is it disappointing? Well, one, the biggest one for me, is that it forces you, because, well, the small real estate of the iPhone screen, of course, is going to necessitate some kind of zooming in and zooming out of the page. There's just no two ways about it, especially if you're taking pages that were traditionally meant to be read in print. And so it forces you to zoom in and read it panel by panel. Now, I chose the word forces very intentionally because you tap it and it moves to the next panel on its own. You don't move the screen around. It just shows you one panel, regardless of how you have, what kind of orientation you have the phone set at. So like if you have it sideways, you know, you can turn it to landscape mode, and it's a tall vertical panel, it'll just show you that tall vertical panel without what's around it. And it does this thing where when you zoom in on a wide horizontal panel, it'll show you the first half of it going to the first most appropriate place, like the first person talking. And you tap it again, and it will scroll over automatically to the second part, the second half of that panel. And for what it is, to be fair, it's a really, I think, classy execution of a horrible idea. It's well done. The way it zooms and moves and goes to the most appropriate places next in the panel is nicely done. It looks nice. And even on some panels where there'll be a point of impact, like a big flash of lightning or something, the background behind the panel will actually change color, like suddenly like flash white to indicate, oh, this is a scary moment, or this is an exciting moment, this is a moment that is supposed to surprise you. Little gimmicky, but I think it was not obtrusive. It was, like I said, it was classy for what it was, but it is a terrible idea to take a comics page and regard it panel by panel for a variety of reasons. One is because I think the very definition of comics, and, you know, I'm not a McLeod acolyte, but I do think that his definition is probably the best we've got for right now in terms of what comics are: juxtaposed images in deliberate sequence. Juxtaposed. You can't take them out of sequence and regard them individually. If you think you are when you're looking at a comics page, my personal opinion is you are not. There's probably been some studies done to back up that statement, but I don't have them at the ready right now. You're regarding the whole page as you have peripheral vision. You can't deny that there's images next to the images that you're looking at. And one of the things that I like to think about as a storyteller is how can I get those images to all work together in some kind of compositional harmony on the page, both so it's beautiful to look at, not that I'm going to say my artwork's beautiful, but, you know, attempting beauty, but also so that the images lead your eye to one another. So there's like a clear reading direction that I'm suggesting to you, suggesting. And so if you take any one of those panels out of the sequence, I think you've lost one of the really fundamental, wonderful aspects of comics itself. This is the same reason why I've argued in the past that I feel a little uncomfortable about gallery shows of comics art, because if you take the page out of the sequence, you lose something. A comic, to me, is the full narrative, all considered as a whole, and you can't take any one piece out. I mean, you can take it apart and unbox it in a diagrammatic way for the purposes of discussion, but I think if you take any part out, it's only a part after that. It's not the whole thing. So regarding a story panel by panel, I think is a terrible idea, as I've said a couple times now, but it, partially for juxtaposition. But also, and this is an important one, one of the things I think is really neat, too, is implying multiple reading directions on a page. Now, not every comic does this, and not every comic should do this, but it's something, it's an opportunity I look for in my storytelling, is can I create a page where there's more than one way to read it, and both ways are valid. I have talked at length in old art and story episodes about a sequence in the front. I think it's in chapter 4. I want to say it's chapter 4. Yeah, it is. It's when Thirsty and Nox go to this toy convention, the Giant Converter Tricky Bots convention. There's a sequence for about 4 pages where there's this one long panel on the left that goes from top to bottom, and it's Rex and Galen navigating through the crowd at the convention. And on the right is a completely different sequence where Thirsty is exploring the convention, and he runs into Sam, and there's this little bit of teenage emotional drama and whatnot. And Rex is constantly looking to the right of the page as if he's looking at that sequence, because what I'm trying to say there is that he is observing Thirsty from afar. He's watching Thirsty, and that's a little way for me to hint at that by actually having him look right at that stack of panels to the right of the first panel. Now, when I say first panel, that's not necessarily the first panel. And again, I apologize to listeners who have heard me talk about this at length before, but just to refresh people. Because you can read that first panel first from top to bottom, and then read the second, the stack of panels on the right as a second sequence. Or you can go from the top part of the first panel to the top right panel, then zig back over to the middle of the left panel, and then zig back to the right panel sequence. There's 2 different ways to read it, and I tested it when I did it as thumbnails. It works both ways. You can read it either the first way I suggested or the second way I suggested. I like that kind of ambiguity you can create in comics. I think that's one of the really powerful aspects, as I've said before in the past. I apologize, everybody, if I'm starting to sound a little lectury, but this really gets my this gets my dander up when I see people playing with the format in what I consider to be inappropriate ways. But where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, it comes back to one of my main theses that I keep coming back to again and again and again, is I think it's a noble effort to look for things that only comics can do and put that in your work, to sort of not only to give the finger to other mediums, because right now I got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder with people who think that movies are the ultimate justification of a work. Oh, if your comic got made into a movie, wouldn't that be awesome? I really don't care. I'd like the money, but I probably wouldn't be able to watch the movie. That's part of it. But also, I think it's about adding to the medium. It's about contributing back to this medium that we love. And if we can invent something and explore and discover something that only comics as a medium can do, then I think we're improving the vocabulary, the visual vocabulary that we have at our disposal as artists all together. Everybody wins when that happens. It enriches the art form, and it also bolsters it against people who say, well, comics is great because it's like a movie. I like storytelling that's like a movie. I find that really boring, and I think that's a little bit of a pedestrian approach to making comics, is to just think of it by comparison to something else. It is its own thing, and it's a magical thing when you start digging pretty deep into it. So that's something you lose, too, with the Marvel app. By considering a page panel by panel, you're losing that multi-directionality of reading. They're telling you where to go next. And yes, it's a pretty good for the storytelling that they're using. It's a good direction. I mean, they're not taking you in places you shouldn't go, but they're taking away from you, the reader, the opportunity to go back to, you know, three pages with a flick of a wrist, or to look at the whole page as a whole and decide where you want to start. I'm going to start the last panel. That's the most interesting one, and I'm going to zig back to the first panel. It's astonishing to me that when you read a comic page, you can do that and not lose your sense of being lost in the story. If you did that in a film, you would have to hit the rewind button, and then suddenly you're out of the experience as you watch your buddy run around like Keystone Cops. In a comic, you can zig from panel 1 to panel 7, back and forth, without feeling like you're lost out of the narrative, but you can't do that in a film. That's another power of the medium, of it, the static nature and the immediacy of juxtaposed images that you have. And again, you consider panel by panel, you lose that. To be fair, and to not just turn this into the angry rant at the camera, I know that Marvel isn't doing this to promote the comics medium. That's a byproduct of anything they do, probably. The creative people at Marvel, I'm sure, want to promote the medium. They want to get as many people reading it as possible, and they want to do the best job they can. Of course they do. To assume otherwise would be to demonize them, and I think that's irresponsible. But the company, their bottom line is not dictated by making great works of art that promote and enrich the medium in general. That's not their job. That's our job. And that's why I say to all of us art and storyers that as the indie guys, it's up to us to really contribute to the medium and invent for it and create new classifications, genres, entirely new ways of thinking about the medium, all that stuff. That falls on us, because the bigger the business, the less they can think about that. I mean, ideally, it'd be great if they could think about that too, and they probably could, but it's understandable why they don't, because there's a bunch of suits in charge there now, and the number crunchers are rarely the people who are the most innovative and creative thinkers. So that was my sort of half-hearted way of forgiving them for this application. But the main thing is that the actual interface of how you find comics and how you can store them on the device is actually pretty, it's okay. It's not bad. It feels remotely like an Apple interface, which I'm a big fan of. But man, you break down a page into a reading experience where you're considering just one panel at a time, and it breaks the medium on a lot of important levels for me. And for that reason alone, I think it's much more important for us, too, to be thinking about making our own apps or finding a way to aggregate comics into our own, like, you know, fast and loose kind of federated groups of like-minded creators into their own group apps, sort of like anthology apps or something like that. Some way to pool resources together. I'm not putting it upon every art and storyer out there to go, oh, go learn Objective-C now, even though that is something I have on my list of things to do this year. But it is something that I think in terms of moving forward with our works is we want to get onto more and more devices like this. We need to think about, A, how can I create content that is appropriate for this device? Don't just repurpose stuff onto the iPhone and find some kind of like workaround in order to make it readable. I think that's kind of short-sighted and a little bit irresponsible, I think. Create content that's appropriate for the device, and then find ways to enrich the reading experience, but don't take anything away. Don't change the character of comic storytelling in order to create a rich and interactive reading experience, if that makes any sense. So I totally feel like an old angry man, but who knows? Maybe some of you guys will actually like hearing me get a little fired up about this. But I didn't make fun of anybody, so maybe it wasn't entertaining after all. Anyway, who am I? I'm Jersey, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting this project. We couldn't do it without you. And I think if you listen to the latest High Adventure Daily with Kevin Cross and his wife, even she points out that she's a beneficiary of your support of this project. So, you know, the support that you give us goes a long way. It helps me support my family, helps Kevin support his, and helps Mark support himself, I guess. But I just want to say thank you one more time. Thanks. Don't forget to check out the other shows. Extra High Adventure Dailies and Mark of the Beast, Extra Extremes, Extra Art and Story, videos, the forum, etc. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Thank you for listening. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's adventure, Malik thought he could do whatever he wanted. But instead, he found that when you do something wrong, you may get away with it for a while. But sooner or later, you have to answer for it. Fortunately for him, Malik had friends who cared about him and came to his rescue. All of us make mistakes, but doing something wrong when you know it's wrong really doesn't make sense. Sooner or later, it catches up to you. Until next time, bye.